Consider, Aaron. To refuse death is to refuse life. But I sought death. Yours and mine. Aaron lifted his head and stared at Sparrowhawk. Like Sopley, who drowned himself. Sopley was not seeking death. He sought to escape from it and from life. He sought safety, an end to fear, to the fear of death. But there is a way. There is a way beyond death, back to life beyond death, life without death. That is what they seek. Hare and Sopley, the ones who were wizards. That is what we seek. You above all must know of that way. The mage's strong hand was still on his.
I do not, Sparrowhawk said.
I know what they think they seek. But I know it to be a lie. Listen to me, Aaron. You will die. You will not live forever, nor will any man nor any thing. Nothing is immortal. But only to us is it given to know that we must die. And that is a great gift. The gift of selfhood. For we have only what we know we must lose, what we are willing to lose. That selfhood which is our torment, and our treasure, and our humanity, does not endure. It changes. It is gone, a wave on the sea. Would you have the sea grow still, and the tides cease, to save one wave? To save yourself? Would you give up the craft of your hands, and the passion of your heart, and the light of sunrise and sunset, to buy safety for yourself? Safety forever? That is what they seek to do on Watwort, and Lorbenary, and elsewhere. That is the message that those who know how to hear have heard. By denying life, you may deny death and live forever. And this message I do not hear, Aaron, for I will not hear it. I will not take the counsel of despair. I am deaf. I am blind. You are my guide. You, in your innocence and your courage, in your unwisdom and your loyalty, you are my guide. The child I send before me into the dark. It is your fear, your pain I follow. You have thought me harsh to you, Aaron. You never knew how harsh. I use your love as a man burns a candle, burns it away to light his steps. And we must go on. We must go on. We must go all the way. We must come to the place where the sea runs dry and joy runs out. The place to which your mortal terror draws you. Where is it, my lord?
I do not know.
I cannot lead you there. But I will come with you.
The mage's gaze on him was somber, unfathomable.
But if I should fail again and betray you,
I will trust you, son of Morad. Then both were silent. Above them, the tall, carven idols rocked very slightly against the blue southern sky. Dolphin bodies, gulls' wings folded, human faces with staring eyes of shell. Sparrowhawk got up stiffly, for he was still far from being fully healed of his wound.
I am tired of sitting about, he said. I shall grow fat in idleness.
He began to pace the length of the raft, and Aaron joined him. They talked a little as they walked. Arryn told Sparrowhawk how he spent his days, who his friends among the raft folk were. Sparrowhawk's restlessness was greater than his strength, which soon gave out. He stopped by a girl who was weaving Nilgu on her loom behind the House of the Great Ones, asking her to seek out the chief for him, and then returned to his shelter. There the chief of the raft folk came, greeting him with courtesy, which the mage returned, and all three of them sat down together on the spotted seal-skin rugs of the shelter. "I have thought," the chief began, slowly and with a civil solemnity, "of the things you have told me."